Father, kind Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, once again for this day, for safety in the midst of the spring storms that we experienced this week. We pray for all those who are dealing with the aftermath of perhaps dire circumstances. Please be with them in a special way, wherever they may be. Father, as we are entering into your word just now, we pray for your spirit to please be with us in a special way. Please draw us closer to you, and we pray that, Lord, just that you would move in each one of our lives in a unique way that would speak to each of our hearts. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is Fire Baptism Part 6, and throughout the book of Acts, there's several main themes in the book. It begins with a main theme in Acts chapter 1, the Great Commission, the mission of the church, the mission of the Christian church. Jesus told his disciples, "You will go out and you will be witnesses for me to the world." He said, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. Wait in Jerusalem till you experience this baptism. And we refer to it, it's been referred to in Scripture by John the Baptist. He said, there's one coming after me who's greater than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In other places it says water and fire. And so we've referred to this series as the fire baptism. And so Jesus, when he tells his disciples, you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, and then he said, you will go forth and be witnesses to me. A main theme of this book is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life, the work of the Holy Spirit in the early Christian church, and how he was there guiding the direction of the church at every step of the way. We saw that, especially throughout the book, you'll see the Apostle Paul, in conversation with God about where to go. The Holy Spirit is guiding the work of the church all the way along the way. And in order for them to go forth as witnesses to Christ, to his resurrection, they first had to be baptized in the Spirit. And the Spirit, this baptism of fire, is a purifying influence in our lives. None of us are witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we are witnesses to his influence in our lives, this transformation that takes place of changing us from a child of darkness to a child of light. We have new motivations, new desires. We want to be a Christian. We want to lead other people to Christ. We want to rejoice and share the joy that we have, the joy of salvation that we all have. We want to share that with the world around us. And so there is this, just doing it again. I don't even have my phone on me this time. Last time I thought it was from the phone, but I can try to stay put if it won't go away. If it's coming through on the recording. So we'll deal with the sound. Thankful for our sound booth guys stepping in as pinch hitters today. So the theme of the Holy Spirit, there's also this constant reference, the theme of the supremacy of Christ, I'll call it, and how the apostles were very careful so as not to take any credit for themselves, because in chapter 3 and onward, we start to see miracles happening in the name of Jesus. And they talk about the great power that exists in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, when they healed the man who was by the temple gate, the apostle Peter was very careful to say, this did not happen because of our own piousness. This did not happen because of how good we are at keeping the law. This healing happened because of the power in the name of Jesus. What do you think, Nick? Do I just need to stand behind the pulpit? You can hear it. I just don't want that popping to come through on the recording. Oh, I can try it. We'll see if it's off. It's off. It seems like whenever I come past here, though, maybe it's this mic. I'm not sure. There's no conflict there. Okay, let's see where I was. There's great power in the name of Jesus. Now it doesn't need, am I on? Okay. Sorry, I'm struggling today. Been very tired lately. There is great power in the name of Jesus, a supremacy in that name. This good works that have happened did not come because of how good we are, but the power in the name of Jesus. And the Apostle Peter says, I think it's in Acts chapter 4, where he says, there is salvation, there isn't salvation under any other name under heaven but through Christ. And so these are some major themes of the book. Mission of the church, the Great Commission, being witnesses to what Jesus has done in our lives. Each one of us have a testimony. Each one of us are a witness to Christ in some way. I pray that that's the case in every single one of our lives, is that we are a witness of Jesus in some way. All right, there are a great many good works happening. We don't know what that is. Putting the phone on the bench used to help it, but it's not helping it today. All right. Transforming power of the Spirit. Good things come out of us. We're no longer living for the flesh or the sinful works. All right, that's my recap. Just go ahead and shut it off. It's going to drive me crazy. Are we good? How's that? All right, we'll stick with this. All right, let's find out where we are. All right, chapter 6 and 7, if you turn with me there in Scripture, chapter 6 and 7 is the culmination of this growth. All the way along the way, through the journey, through the outpouring of the Spirit, there has been a combative nature against. We call it the great controversy. Satan is always trying, whenever God is working, whenever the Spirit of God is moving, there is always a counterattack on you. Lucifer uses people too. The devil uses people just like God uses people. And so at every stage of the journey, the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, there's ridicule, just openly mocking them for what they were doing. This mighty Sinai experience in Acts chapter 2, where there's the cloven tongues of fire, they're speaking in other languages, there's amazing things happening. Well, the devil's there to ridicule that. Acts chapter 3 is the first healing. Acts chapter 4, they're already in jail. They're already taken into custody. And so there's always an opposite reaction to when the Holy Spirit is moving in the life. And we've seen that all along the way, where they're taken into custody or they're beaten. In Acts chapter 5, the angel actually freed them from prison and told them to go out and preach. Continue preaching. They were forbidden to preach in the name of Christ. They continue, were compelled by the Spirit to do so. So that's what they kept doing. Acts chapter 6 and 7 is the culmination of the hatred that we see for what we refer to as the great controversy of the hatred for Christ, for Satan against Christ. All right. So this is the choosing of Stephen, and I'm going to begin in Acts chapter 6. The Bible tells us they had this issue. They needed some deacons to serve, and they were looking for people who were full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, and Stephen is one of those who are numbered. Let's begin. I'll just begin in verse 6. Acts 6, chapter 6 and verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So this gospel is taking off. This gospel is transforming the hearts and minds of even the priests are becoming obedient to the faith. And so there is a change that is happening within the community because we're dealing with this is the story of the Christian church, but it began in Judaism. All right, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So here the Holy Spirit still doing these amazing things. Then there arose from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, and they were disputing with Stephen, but they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. All right, so here he is. Just like he is full of the Holy Spirit, miracles are happening, and he is in this conversation, or there's a dispute that has arisen, and the Bible says that his adversaries were not able to resist the wisdom or the spirit by which he spoke. The Bible says he was full of faith and full of power. And so they do exactly what Jesus said they were going to do. They do exactly what they did to Jesus, where they automatically began conspiring about how do we get rid of this guy. Again, when the Spirit of God is moving, there is an opposition to that. There is automatically a plot in which they begin trying to figure out a way to get rid of this guy. So they do the same thing that they did with Jesus, where they bring in false witnesses and they lie about him. They make up stories. They make up lies. They propagate and gossip and do all these things that we know are contrary to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was not inspiring them to do what they're doing. If you go down to verse 13, and they also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." So this same thing, the same problem, the same story is repeating itself, but now it is coming to the place where the hatred is leading them It's not just going to be ridicule. It's not going to be just whipping and beating and putting them in prison. The culmination of this hatred results in the death of this young man. The same thing that Jesus said would happen. Chapter 7. So Stephen is accused of blasphemy. He's accused of breaking the law. He does the same accusations that they gave to Christ, they are pinning on him. I have been encouraging you to read through the book along with me all along the way, and so I am not going to read all of chapter 7, but it's a powerful sermon that he gives, and I apologize, I can't move, so I can't think that well, and so I'm struggling. I'll try not to go there. I've been so tired lately, and I don't know why. I don't know if I'm burned out or what, but thankfully I got some sleep last night, and I feel a little better today, but my brain is still not working that well. So, Nick, you'll have to cut this part out of the upload. All right. So chapter 7 is this beautiful sermon that he gives, his kind of rebuttal, his retort to the accusations made against him, and it begins with the call of Abraham. And so I would encourage you to read it. I would encourage you to, as I have all along, reading through the book of Acts together. I know it's been several weeks. Maybe you've read the book of Acts several times by now. But there is this reoccurring theme. There's the power of the Holy Spirit, and there is a fight against that. And it's coming through the religious people. That's the scary part. That's the sad thing, is just like in the life of Christ, the religious people don't have the Spirit of God, but they're attacking those who do. And so let's go, I'll hit a couple points in Acts chapter 7. He tells the story, God raises up this special people, Abraham, their whole story, Isaac and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs. And he tells the story of how every time God was moving or would send a prophet to them, they would try to silence the prophet. So whenever the Spirit of God was trying to admonish Israel, they would kill him many times, or he would have to go and hide. He would go hide in the wilderness or something. This is such as the nature of the condition of the unregenerated heart and how they view those who have the Spirit of God. There is a hatred there. It's automatic. It's nothing that we can really change or do anything about. It just seems to be the nature of sin and the hatred for the Spirit of God. Meanwhile, he highlights all the way through chapter 7 the unfaithfulness of Israel and the faithfulness of God. Whenever you think about the story of Israel, think about the faithfulness of God. Yes, humanity always fails. That's our problem. But thankfully, God, through Christ, made a way for us. But always think of the stories of Israel as God's faithfulness, His enduring mercy with human beings. We often focus on kind of the failure of human beings, and yeah, that's a given, because we're all in this sinful flesh. But praise be to God for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, as a human being to overcome in all the ways that we have fallen short. Okay, so Acts chapter 7, we'll read a bit together here. 7, and I'm going to begin in verse 51. Read a few verses together. He tells them, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. There is a spirit of the law, and there's a letter of the law." And all along the way in Israel's best day, they would work really hard on keeping the letter of the law, but they never understood the Spirit or the Holy Spirit involvement. Obviously, there were people who did along the way. There were prophets who did along the way. There were people who got it. But for the most part, as his synopsis says, which of the prophets did you not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One. This is the history of fallen humanity. This is the history, is Israel's history. Let's continue. When they hear these things, what do? They were cut to the heart, but what did they do? The same thing. This is a repetitive thing throughout Scripture. They were cut to the heart, and they go forward to attack him. It says they gnashed their teeth. In verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Verse 60, then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep."
This is the culmination of hatred, and this is the culmination of an unregenerated heart and its attitude toward God and the Spirit of God. This is the same story that's been on repeat with the prophets of old. Whenever people are confronted with sin, there's this deep-seated anger and hatred for the Spirit of God when they see it in another person. But I love this story. The words of Stephen are powerful in his reflection of Christ himself. You see, the display or this the stoning, the public punishments that used to happen, the purpose of those things were to curb a certain behavior. I'm sorry, I can't, unless I can turn this microphone on and maybe it will work, I can maybe bring this back together here. I'm so sorry, folks. I have had a real struggle the last 2 weeks. Okay, I turned my mic back on. Okay, so this issue with the purpose of public punishment, going all the way back to biblical times and even in American history, was to curb a certain behavior. And so what they would do is say, hey, this is the result of theft, and you're going to be stuck in the stocks for, 2 weeks. This is the result of murder, as you yourself are going to be publicly executed. This is the result of rape. You're going to be publicly executed. And the goal was to curb that behavior in the society that, oh, wow, I'm going to think twice before I do that. So the goal of public punishment, like stoning or you name it, was to curb the behavior. However, it had the opposite effect with the Christian church. Because unbeknownst to what the Sanhedrin or the people who were in charge of his trial, unbeknownst to them, all they were doing was putting on display what the gospel would do. Because here he is, this man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, standing there praying for his captors, praying for his persecutors, saying, Lord, please don't lay this sin against them. And he just goes to sleep, the Bible says. So all they did in publicly executing him and so many others, the goal is to curb the preaching of the name of Jesus. The goal is to curb this behavior that they don't want to happen anymore. All it did was give evidence that Christ, the peace of Christ in the life, the very thing that every person is afraid of, is dying as a base level. But here he is in a peaceful state. He's not afraid. He's praying for his captors. And the Bible says he just falls asleep. It doesn't say he went down writhing in pain, screaming bloody murder at these people. The Bible just says he fell asleep. And there are countless thousands of records of martyrs through the early Christian church and all the way to date, tens of thousands of people. And the story is they had a serene bearing about them. The story is that as they were, wood was being lit, they would sing a hymn until they just stopped singing eventually. Okay, so the very thing that they were trying to stop actually cemented in the minds of people, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in this Holy Spirit influence. All it did was further the gospel. Because in every stage of Christian history, the same thing happened. That if whenever martyrdom happened, whenever somebody is being publicly executed like this, the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the gospel, and it went out from there. There is power in the name of Jesus
that even in the face of death, you can find peace. You can find joy. You can find forgiveness in praying for those who hurt you. And everybody knew who's watching is like, this is not normal. They'd seen executions in their lives. This is not normal. Normally what happens is the person is like the thief on the cross next to Jesus, where he's casting out curses on those who are nailing him to the cross. Or they're used to seeing people lashing out at those who are trying to hurt them. But in the case of Christianity, in the case of from Stephen onward, we see something different. We see the opposite effect, that it doesn't curb the behavior, it actually helps it grow. And so there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in this Holy Spirit influence that we've been talking about. And this knowing Jesus gave them a peaceful bearing that they were not used to seeing. And so it made them want whatever those people had. Okay? So unknowingly, the leaders of the Sanhedrin were demonstrating for everyone to see the power of the gospel. The very thing they were trying to destroy, they were actually demonstrating its power as they were doing it. That's an amazing thing. The very thing they were trying to disciple, they were trying to stifle, they were putting on display for everyone to see. Because Jesus conquered death and the fear of death in his followers. Because they knew that death had no more sting. That because Christ had resurrected from the grave, as we read in our intro scripture reading, if the same Spirit that was in Christ and resurrected Christ, if the same Spirit is in you, he will also resurrect you. And so that is the power that they were clinging to. It's like, I have received Jesus as my Savior. I have received this Holy Spirit of promise. And so there was the power of the Spirit was seen in life. It's not something that a human being can replicate. Peace in the face of death is not something that human beings can naturally replicate. It's something that comes from the power of God alone. So as the church was persecuted and scattered, it continued to grow and to grow. And this effect of the martyrs, the blood of the martyrs being the seed of the gospel has continued to date. Currently in Africa, I can't remember, it's on the continent of Africa, I can't remember which country at the moment, I think Nigeria. It's been kept pretty quiet, but there has I keep seeing headlines of the mass murder of Christians there through the Islamic regimes that govern and run the country. This hatred for Christ, the hatred for salvation, we've talked about this all the way through this series. There is a reason that the devil doesn't want people to hear the name of Jesus. He wants them to be enslaved in their sins. He wants them to be enslaved in their religiosity. He wants them to be captive to the fear of death. Because in Christ, he takes us outside of that. The Holy Spirit gives us a power beyond ourselves. And we have seen throughout history that whenever Satan is attacking the church and putting these martyrs on display, that the church continues to grow. Jesus told his followers before he left, I'm going to try to wrap this up here. Jesus told his followers before he left, he says, the gospel's going to go out into the world. He said, and you're going to be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. Throughout my lifetime,
I have not seen personally or experienced governmental persecution, right, as a Christian in America. We have freedom of religion here. We can meet, we can gather, and we don't have to worry about someone breaking the door down. In communist countries throughout the 20th century, obviously that was not the case. But in America, in my lifetime, I have also, while I have not been officially persecuted by the government, I've heard throughout my life that Christianity is like one of the most dangerous religions that exist. One of the biggest threats to our country, in which it was founded on Christian principles, Judeo-Christian principles, the biggest threat to our country is Christianity. I have heard that my whole life. So while I haven't been felt personal, you know, it is personal in a way because we're being told, or I have been told my whole life that, you know, this religion is the cause of so many problems. Meanwhile, as a child, I can remember the headlines of other religions. I can remember Islam. I can remember things like the suicide bombers when I was a kid. I remember that. When I was 14, I watched two airplanes fly into buildings in the United States. But I was warned all along the way, you cannot be upset with these people for what's happening, because we'll become Islamophobic, or we'll become that they're not, that this is not the problem. The problem is your religion. And so the hatred for Christ continues to this day. Although I'm not being personally attacked in my home, this built-in idea that there is a hatred for Christ and his church, okay, we see it today. And meanwhile, other things happen, and it has always puzzled me. But I see now the trajectory of the Christian church, that this has been an ongoing theme throughout human history. I just saw a headline the other day. I've seen, and I should verify these things, but I saw a headline recently in Canada. It's now illegal to use scripture to speak against, you know, I think it was like the LGBTQ plus LMNOP plus community. You cannot use scripture to speak as your source of authority against this way of life. Okay, and so if you will, as a pastor, you would have some sort of crime against you. You would serve some sort of prison sentence for that. The Word of God, just as Stephen preached to them and they ran at him with one accord for hatred for what he had said, for preaching the truth, the same thing continues to be played out in our world today, where Scripture is hated, truth is hated. It is seen as a bad thing. It is seen as upsetting to people, offending people. The Word of God is trampled upon, if you will. Beloved, this whole series, in order for us to be able to continue to stand firm for principle, as the prophets of old, speaking the truth, as Scripture says, and obviously we try to do everything in love, because you want people to be saved. That's why we warned them about, that's why Noah was warning about a flood. It wasn't to make them feel bad about themselves. It was so that they would be saved. The prophets of old were always sent to warn people, to warn Israel, that you need to repent, you need to turn away from your sins. And when they would do so, they would be attacked for it. Many of them faced a martyr's death. The Word of God has the same effect today as we preach and as we are teaching truth in our world today. it's going to have the same effect. And while we do it, it is coming from a place of love, it will be seen as the opposite, that you're being mean to me, that you're trying to hurt me. It's like, no, I'm actually trying to tell you that you're a human being. You came from the hand of God, and God has a will for your life, and His will is for you to be saved and to repent and to turn away from your sins. That's what we learned throughout this series in Acts, is that this gift of the Holy Spirit is to turn us away from our iniquities, every one of us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is paramount. As we surrender to God's leading in our life, I pray for each one of us, as we see the threats, the onslaughts, the things that may come, I pray that by the power of the Spirit of God in each one of our lives, we can stand firm for Scripture. We don't have to be We don't have to be this forceful, annoying voice. Our lives, we can tell people in love the truth. We can do the Christian thing, the Christ-like thing to do. But that is, in our world, that is going to be seen as offensive. It's going to be it could be taken the wrong way. I don't know how in every situation. But my prayer for each one of us is that we are seeking and praying for the Spirit of God, the infilling, the fire baptism in our lives every single day. That we're spending our time in God's Word so that we would have a word in due season. We either experience the fire baptism now, or we'll experience it later. Okay? We'll either experience it now, where it actually preserves and transforms our life so that we are heaven bound, heaven ready, or we'll experience it later at the second resurrection. Okay? Those are the options. So my prayer for each one of us is that we are pleading for this infilling, this transformation of life, that we are bearing our crosses now. Jesus called us to bear a cross. He said, if anyone comes after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. It is not a walk in the park. Okay? It comes, the trial of our faith is not one that just it's literally a purification of fire. And so my prayer for each one of us is that we're praying for that daily, and that the Spirit of God, we're experiencing that power in our life, and that we experience this fire baptism now, because the only people who are going to survive the second coming are the fire creatures, are the ones who have already endured this baptism of fire in their life. Just like in the flood, the only animals that survived were the water creatures, okay? The only people who are going to survive the second coming are the fire creatures. That's why God is offering this purification process now, the trial of our faith now, the purification of heart and mind now, through Jesus Christ in the power in His name. He's offering that to us now so that we don't have to experience the bad one later. Okay? And so my prayer for each one of us is that we would experience that in our lives, and that we would call upon the name of Jesus because there's power in that name, and that He would transform us from the inside out, and that we would be motivated to do His will from the heart, from the inside out, and not the other way around. We will, I'll probably do one more sermon in this series. Then it'll be a nice even fire baptism part 7. 7's a good number, amen. And hopefully I can redeem this sermon in that 7th sermon. Hopefully I will have my mind on that day. But anyway, let's pray together and ask the Spirit of God to be in our hearts and our minds, that He would continue to do His work in us, and that when opposition comes, whether it's through legislation, whether it's through the insults of a coworker, no matter what the case may be, that we would have the grace that we need and the power that we need to be able to pray our way through that experience. That we could have the experience of Stephen and so many other people, martyrs through the Christian history of the Christian church, that God's the demonstration of the gospel would be seen in each one of our lives. Let's pray. Kind Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for always being with us. And Father in heaven, we know that you are more willing to give us this gift than we are to give good gifts to our own children. So I just pray, Father, that as we are struggling and as we are Lord, going through various trials on all sides. I know there's so many members dealing with different things, dealing with just the trial of our faith. And so, Father, I pray that you would be with every single one in a special way, that you would bless, that you would grant us the grace to overcome, and that, Lord, your will would be accomplished in each one of our lives, that we could be a witness in our sphere of influence. Fill us with your presence, fill us with your love, and Father, help us to do and to know your will. We love you, we thank you, and we just pray that you would bless us as we're leaving our service today. In Jesus' name, amen.